Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
My theme today, well, not my theme, my share today is Mothers with Passion. And I have a little video clip, but I just want you to take a minute and watch.
Heavens, listen. Her knees glued to the ground. But mark her mouth, it moves at an uncontrollable speed. Deep is her need to be heard. She pleads a case like no one else can. Cradled in her arms is a picture of him, her child. Flashbacks take her back to the journey of his life before life. Then push, unlock, and let out this child she calls my son. Her need for heaven's ear to hear. Her heart shoots out words like a gun in the devil's face. She will not lose her son. She fights like a warrior. See her, determined not to let go. Her prayers, they're like screams before heaven's door. Please open. I beg you, please open. As she extends the token, her spirit breaks into a vision. As she holds a deep conviction to bring conviction to the heart of this child, her child, a mission to bring a reconnection to his senses. Amnesia must vanish. It's the fight of her life as she presents this. He cannot die. I refuse to lose his soul. Circumstances are a lie. I refuse to let go. She prays like Hannah at the tabernacle door. Her heart grips with bitterness of soul. Till heavens open, she will not take no for an answer. She will not let go till his soul listens, till his heart obeys. Till angels are deployed from heaven's portals, she will not move from her place. She will never give up the chase until he comes home, back to life. Heaven's line will echo with the voice of a mother's cry.
The theme for this poem was about a black woman in Memphis. She had a wayward son who had gotten into the wrong company, and he was dying as a lost child. And she identified herself as the Shunammite woman, and she asked God for her Elijah. God sent her that Elijah in her day, and her son lived to be saved. For lack of time, I can't really share the whole story, but if you go to 2 Kings 4:8, the story of this passionate woman and her miracle son is much like Abraham and Sarah. He was too old for them to have children, and so this was a story about a miracle in their life. So if you get a chance, it's a great story. Take time to read it. But being a mother with passion, I encourage you to be single-minded, determined like she was, not to give up. Keep praying for your children. We don't have a lot of young moms in here. My daughter came and surprised me today with her 5 kids. So that was a blessing. I'm passionate about being a mom. And I have 5 children and 10 grandkids. So it's a passionate thing for me. And I know it is for my children also. Another passionate woman I want to share is the Proverbs 31 woman. Everything she did it well. She was passionate about it. She was a trustworthy woman. She was industrious. She was organized. She was loving. She was kind. She kept peace in her home. But most importantly, she was passionate about the things of God and to pass it on to her children. And her children would stand and bless her. She mentors the younger women, as we should. She is a world changer, and her presence and his presence is her garment, powerful as she walks with God. Someone once said that God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. A mother's intuition is unbeatable, and I could share some stories on that one. Someone once said that being a mother enlarges and changes our lives forever. She has the highest salary job because the payment is pure love. Mothers always had to do things twice, once for themselves and once for their child. A mother will hold her children's hands for a short while, but she'll hold their hearts forever, and that's so true. Being a mother is a calling, it's not a hobby. it's easier to repair a child than it is, it's easier, I'm sorry, to build up a child than it is to repair an adult. And children are like sponges. Bathe them in love, give them lots of hugs and kisses. Be an example to them as you walk in their presence. Show the love of Christ to your children in the way you talk, the way you treat them, the places you go, the people you're with. There is no such thing as accidental parenting. Be intentional. Your children are not by accident. Parent with a purpose. Loving discipline will help train them in the way that they should go, how they should hear the voice of God in their lives and make the choices and take responsibility for them. Pray over them. Pray over your children. Pray for their spouses, their godly spouses. Spouses who will love them second to none, only to Christ. When my children were little, many times, whether they were in the crib or where they were, I would go in and lay my hand on them, and I would pray over them, and I would pray for their future spouses, and I've watched God give them godly spouses. So it works. Take time to pray over your kids. I have some pictures I want to share. Since I'm the mom, I get to share my pictures. This was us in the beginning. We lived on a ski slope, and we worked at a ski slope. And then here we are now. With exception, there's a few missing, and I'll show you them. That was a few years ago. So there's my five and their spouses. This is our newest son-in-law, married to our youngest, Justin. And then this is our little Leah Taylor. And our little Wells Taylor. And our little Elliot, who's here today. They were all born last year. So they didn't make that first picture. And they're all a blessing, and I love them so much. So anyway, that's the fun part I get, is share my kids. So I just want to say that we're so overwhelmed when they're in the midst of it all. Raising kids God's way is work, but it's very rewarding. In Isaiah 26:3, God says, "If you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all those who are fixed on the Lord, he will give you that peace." I just share real quick, and I had a video. I wanted to share it, but I didn't have the time once again. My triplet girls who are here today, grand girls, when they were two, I used to go down and help watch them. And at that time, Frozen came out, the movie Frozen. And those girls would go around with their arms stretched out. And they'd be singing, "Let it go, let it go." And, of course, that's about all they knew. So that's about all I heard every time I went was, "Let it go, let it go." And Morgan, she would do it in a different range. And she was loud. And Everly was trying to be pretty. And she's in her fluffy dress. And I would always add to it, "I don't want to do this anymore." Because at the end of the day, I was about shot with the triplets and everything. And so, you know, that's when you're in the midst of it, that's the way it is. You sometimes feel like you want to let it go and you don't want to do this anymore, but don't give up. Don't give up. Now, I just have, once again, because I get to share some things from my kids. This was wrote to me by my oldest daughter, who is here today. "Sometimes you find someone to love you in this earth. Other times you're given that someone on the day of your birth. This person has a bond with you that reaches from heart to heart. This bond will never end." I thought I could read this. "This bond will never end, and our hearts will never part. This special person will always hold a special place inside, even though we both have hurt, yelled, and even cried. Sometimes I wonder if this person even knows how much love I hold. And it will never go away, not even when I'm old. She's taught me so many things that I never will forget. And how many more will she teach me? I do not know yet. This person was my idol as I began to grow. And now I find myself as a woman with so much yet to know. I look in the mirror at what I see and wonder if a person like her I'll be. Hopefully, I think to myself, I'll have her charm, heart, and smile someday. And that she'll notice my love for her in some way. This woman I cherish with all I have inside and out. She helped teach me what life was all about. Now, even though I'm graduating and leaving a sheltered world, I never forget that special one like no other, my one and only loving mother." Thank you, Kaylee. I love you. So that was my oldest. This is my second to the oldest. I have three girls. She used to write journals in school that she would give to her teacher, and he'd respond back. And I just want, this is proof that I took my kids to church. So this is just kind of a cute one. Dear Mr. Faringer, I had a long week. I'll start with last Monday. I went to school. Mom picked us up from school. I did my homework at 5:30. We left to go to church. While I was there were a lot of pastors there too. I got home, 11:30, went to bed, then I woke up, went to school on Tuesday, went to band, did my homework, went home, got dressed, went to church, got back at 11:45, went to bed, went to school, went home, went to church, then went home at 11:30, woke up, went to school, went home, called my friend Tina, took her to church with me, got home at 11:30, woke up at 11 Friday. I was really tired. On Saturday, we went to a horse auction, came to the grocery store, came home, went to bed, went to church, came home, bike ride, went to clean the barn, clean the horses. There was hair everywhere. But anyways, that was my second. I think that was a week when we had, there was a revival, renewal going on, and we literally were at church almost every night. My kids loved it. They look forward to going. Of course, yeah, they caught up with them at the end of the week. This is my youngest, Raylee. She doesn't say much. She doesn't share much. She's always been that way. That's just her personality. She just somehow deals with it and takes care of it. But so sometimes I never knew how she was feeling. Mom, it's not that often that I tell you I love you. So I'm writing this letter to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. You do so many things that a lot of moms would not do. You drive pretty much everywhere I want. And when I'm hungry, you always have food as fast as you can. When I decide I want to do something, you're always supporting me. You chase away the boys so I don't have to make any bad decisions before I find the right one. You're such an awesome mom. I am so thankful for everything you do for me. When most people say that they have a cool mom, they usually mean that their mom lets them go to parties, have many boyfriends as they want. But that's not what a cool mom is. You're truly a cool mom. You have done so much for me and so many things with me. When I would have soccer games of any times, you were always there cheering me on. You're one of those moms that's you're not super strict about everything, but you don't let me do anything I want. And that's just the way I like it. You're so awesome. I'm so glad I still have many years left with you. I'm in no hurry to leave the house and be away from you. Even though I always want to be with friends, I still have some of the best times with you. Happy Mother's Day. So special. There's 10 things, just cute things that are so true. You made me cry. You made her cry a lot. She wanted the last piece of pie. It hurt. She was always afraid. She knows you're not perfect. She watched you as you slept. She carried you a lot longer than 9 months, and it broke her heart every time you cried. She put you first. And she would do it all again. That is so true. And then the next one is just a cute one that reminds me of Rusty and I. Go to bed, looking forward to a good night's sleep. Mom has to get up because someone had a bad dream. Dad's still sleeping. Someone's got to go pee, but Dad's still sleeping. Someone has to get up a couple hours later and needs a bottle. Dad's catching flies and still sleeping. And then morning comes, and he's wide awake, raring to go, and I look like that. And I can't tell you how many times with 5 kids, that literally is how it happened. So thank you, honey. You were a big help during the night. So anyways, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone here, whether you're a mother of your biological child, you're a mother of an adopted child, a foster child, or if you're just mothering over someone else's child. Be passionate. Love those kids. Guide them to love the Lord, first and foremost. And lastly, we have a song. God bless.
It's been a long day. We've come a long way, wouldn't you say? Mama, are you okay? Look what I made. Like it's on me too, and I've been chasing some dragons. You've been pushing my wagon, and it's been grand. Like you say, I am. Hey, mama,
I just need this one.
Okay. Whole different. I brought my tissues here, so if you got any. Yes, I need the mic. Let's just pull these down here. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. First, I just want to wish you all happy Mother's Day. Whether you are a mother, or I know you've all had a mother, and it is a special day, and I pray that it's a good day for you guys. Pastor Tom asked me to share my experience with you because he felt God works through the testimonies of others. So I pray that... I'm sorry. You can see I don't do this very often. So I pray that this will, that you would see more of God and less of me. That by the time I'm done, you would understand how God loves you and walks with you through the valleys. I've come to the realization that our children aren't really ours. They have been entrusted to us from God. So I went online to look for more information relating to that fact. I found an article from a Dr. Rick Taylor. I'm just going to share part of it. I think this is so important because God has given mothers something called maternal instinct. And that causes us to bond so strongly with our children that we can lose sight of this fact that children are entrusted to us. Dr. Taylor states that it is so natural in the ebb and flow and chaos of daily living to treat our children as possessions instead of as gifts from a loving and almighty heavenly Father
But the biblical reminder is children are a gift. The idea David relates here is that God entrusts his children to their parents. The children belong to him, but he has gifted them to us for a period of time to accomplish certain things he has designed. It is as if God has contracted parents to participate in the raising of his children. Sometimes we as parents focus so much on the world of the here and now that we lose sight of the fact that God entrusted us to prepare his children for the world of the future, not just the world of the present. In his article, Dr. Taylor encourages us as parents to stop from time to time and get away and think about how our children are doing, where they have grown, and where each one needs to grow if they are going to be prepared for the future world. He asks, how is your son or daughter's heart? Is it growing more humbly submitted to God? Is their mind being biblically formed? Is the growth in their heart and mind showing up in their chaos, in their choices and compassions? Let us take a lesson from Psalm 127, 3 and 4. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our children are born in one's youth. They're a heritage from God. They're his heritage. They're from him. They're a gift. Okay, so now that I shared that, what Dr. Taylor has to say about our children, I would like to introduce you to the three children that God entrusted to me. And if I can get through this without crying, then God will have answered my prayers. So please excuse me if that happens. This is Stacy, my creative, sensitive, and intelligent first child. I used to babysit for five children under five, which she interacted with daily. She never liked to deal with very young children because she said they never would understand when she would try to teach them something. Years later, God entrusted her with a son who was born with Soto syndrome. My precious grandson, Matthew, would never understand. Stacy exhibited such a protective and caring love for him. God's wisdom never ceases to amaze me. It just never does. And she really came through for him. And he's the joy of our lives. Now, this is my second son, Keith. I mean, my second child, Keith. extremely brilliant and very funny. He was such a blessed man of God. He really loved God and always put God first in all things. One day, during his time in college, he called me up and said, I never could get through this story without tears, and said, Mom, I need your advice. He told me that Gloria, his girlfriend, was very stressed about tests she was taking. He asked what he could do for her. I said, Keith, go to the store and pick up about five or six cards that express encouragement, and then don't just give them to her, but leave them in different places so that she will discover them at different times during the day. She will feel uplifted and encouraged. You know what he said to me? He said, I already did that, Mom. I said, well, Keith, that was the perfect thing to do. You don't have to do another thing. That really explains Keith, who he was and what a compassionate heart he had. And this is my third child, Tony. I'm assuming they're all going up there, okay. She always was the crazy bright light in our home, always dancing around and creating her own crazy language. One day I got a call informing me that Tony was to get an award, which was going to be presented at Rutgers College. I asked Tony about it, and she said, oh, Ma, it's nothing. That's Tony. So Alan, my ex, and I took off work and went to the ceremony. It was called the Caring Award. Some kids will never get a scholastic or sports award. So the guidance counselors in the Northern New Jersey School District got together to award kids who showed compassion and caring for others. One day, Tony asked me if she could invite a friend over to spend the night. I said, of course. Never thought another thing of it. Turns out, this friend was running away from home. Tony went to the train station, talked her into coming to our house, and then went and talked to her mother. Eventually, they reconciled, and her friend went back home. Alan and I never knew this. We found out that day at the award ceremony. Excuse me. This is just one of many caring things Tony did. She really did deserve that award. And as you can see, the award is there because it's in my house, because Tony couldn't care less. She's not one that cares about awards. If it was in Tony's house, it'd be under some, be in a drawer somewhere under something. So that's just the kind of kid she is. In 1986, I received a call at 11:30 at night informing me that my nephew, my sister's son, Marty, had been shot and had died. He was 19 years old. I said, Alan, we have to go. So we jumped in the car and drove 1.5 hours from New Jersey to Long Island, New York. On the way, I was concerned as to what I could possibly say to my sister, because after all, my son was alive. I put my head down, closed my eyes, and tried to imagine how I would feel if it was my son. I felt myself sinking into a deep, dark abyss. I couldn't even breathe. And finally, I said, I just can't do this. So when I got there, I just did the best I could to help my sister. A year and a half later, in 1988, my son went to summer school in Michigan for extra college credits. He was 22 years old, and he was going to be an environmental biologist. They were out on a field trip, and it was a really hot day. They went swimming in Lake Huron to cool off a bit. Lake Huron is the second largest of the Great Lakes. Keith was an athlete and a good swimmer. He swam out into the lake a bit. The water was like a whirlpool, and it just sucked him under. He fought with all he had, but to no avail. It was July 25th, my birthday. I was at home, hoping he would remember to call to wish me a happy birthday. Instead, there was a knock at the door. It was the police who came to inform me that my son had drowned. Yes, I did go through shock and grief and mourning, but I did get through it. God did not give me the grace for my son's death when my nephew died. He gave me the grace when I needed it. He gave me that peace that passes all understanding. As it says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the peace he gives you when you need it. So you should never think, oh, if this happened, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't deal with it. No, not now, not then. But when it happens, that's when you get the peace. That's when you get the strength. That's when God is there with you, get you through it. And walking through this valley, I learned that we should never worry about what might happen and whether we could handle it or not. I learned that when we need it, the grace will be there. God always comes through. He is faithful. In the coming years, God blessed me with 6 grandchildren. God gives and he takes away. In 2009, my daughter Stacy came down with an autoimmune disease and colon cancer. My mom had Alzheimer's and had lived with me for 3.5 years. Eventually, she had to go into a nursing home. I was now working a full-time job, visiting my mother every night, and then going 2.5 hours to Stacy's house every weekend. On February 16th, 2010, 2 days after her 90th birthday, my mother passed away. Eventually, Stacy's hospital stays got longer and longer. I would go for 2 weeks at a time to take care of the children so her husband could be with her in the hospital. Stacy was 45 years old and tried to fight this cancer with all she had. Unfortunately, this cancer was extremely painful. One day, after experiencing her screaming and excruciating pain, I was driving home. I was crying, and my eyes were so filled with tears I couldn't see where I was going. All of a sudden, a song came on the radio. It was called You Never Let Go. At the same time that that happened, the dark clouds in the sky, it had been raining and cloudy that day, separated, and the sun came shining through them, and beautiful rays spread out in every direction. I want you to look at these words if you can. And some of these words say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, even though I come unglued, there, is that right? Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. It says, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. I wish I could play this for you. I wish we had time because it just really touches me. But the thing that got me the most when I was driving was, yes, I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. Okay.
You just keep on going.
A glorious light beyond all compare. No, I'm sorry. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. So, in my despair and through my tears, while I was driving, I began to praise God. Eventually, they had to give Stacy such large doses of morphine, which put her to sleep all of the time. On February 19, 2011, just a year after my mother passed away, Stacy went to join her brother and her grandmother in the presence of Jesus. As a Christian, you know that they are better off where they are, but the broken pieces of your heart just can't be put back together. You would give anything to have them back, but you have to say to yourself, what would they want? God made me aware of this song, this next song, if you could see me now. Some of the words in the song here are, our prayers have been answered, I finally arrived. The healing that had been delayed is now realized. It says, no one's in a hurry. There's no schedule to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus just sitting at his feet. If you can see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you can see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you can see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you can see me now, you'd know the pain's erased. And then this part here. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this place if you could only see me now. And so we have to think that way, what they're going through and how they're in heaven with Jesus. I've come to realize that for a Christian, death is not tragic. Our loved ones are with Jesus. It is us who are still here on the earth who feel the loss. But because of that hope we have in Jesus, we know that we will someday be with them again. As you can see, I've been through some valleys, but I know that God's plan is the best plan. His way is the right way, even though we can't always see it. The verse I live by is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I stopped trying to control the situations in my life. And that's really hard for a loudmouth Italian girl from Brooklyn. But now I lay those situations down and give them over to God. Now God makes the decisions. I seek his will before I act, and he guides me along the straight path. I'm not perfect by any means. I'm still a work in progress. But I know that he is with me. He picks me up when I fall and leads me onto great blessings. He walks with me through the valleys of my life and carries me when I cannot go on my own. He promises to do the same for you, every one of you. Believe in him. Trust in his faithfulness. Turn to him for your comfort and direction. He will see you. He will set you in the path to true peace and joy and empower you through grace to conquer sin and emerge a victor. Romans 8:37 says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is a picture of my whole family. Yes, two are missing, but there are three more than before, and one more on the way. The girl over there has my great-grandchild inside her. And in a few days, actually she's due on Wednesday, my first great-grandchild will be born. If you remember Job, he lost everything, but God restored it all back to him. In Job 42:12, it says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Most of you know the story of Horatio Spafford. He lost most of his wealth in the Chicago fire in 1871, and then even more of his finances in 1873. Then he lost all four of his children, and he was still able to write, "It is well with my soul." I am here to tell you that despite all I have experienced, it is well with my soul. I pray that as you walk through your own valleys, you can say the same. May this song bless you this Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.